Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, or should I say good evening, because it is currently 20 to 8. Welcome back to the Bulky Blue Podcast, and today we are going to be discussing the Chelsea versus Spurs match in the Premier League that is kicking off tomorrow, the 4th of February 2021. So, before I go over the footnotes of Thomas Tuchel's press conference, I just want to give a shout out to the women's team when they won 6-0 and made it through to the... Well, it was 6-0 when I last saw it anyway. I don't know if it finished that. But they're through to the Conti Cup final. So, big shout out to them. That's now 34 unbeaten. And long may it continue. Literally, as I'm speaking as well, Everton have just gone 1-0 up versus Leeds. So now, let's get into the press conference. Now, the first thing that got asked by the first journalist, we took about 7 minutes or so of the press conference up, out of 20 minutes. Right? First thing that got asked was Tuchel versus Jose. And then, rightfully so, but it was still nice to hear, Tuchel turned around and said that the match should be about Spurs versus Chelsea, not about the managers versus each other. He then got asked if Jose was a role model for him coming through the like the manager ranks. And he turned around and said that when Tuchel was there, he was in the academy, Jose seemed far away, like the moon and the earth. So he couldn't be a role model at all, basically. It was very honest to say that he wasn't a role model, because it is very easy to say that. And at the time, Jose would have been one of the top managers. Not to say he isn't still a good manager, but he's way past his best. Tuchel then turned around and said that Jose is one of the best managers out there. He's built a competitive and strong team repeatedly. And then he got asked about a clash of cultures between Chelsea and Spurs players as at the moment, and basically we just got to try and beat them. And that he's proud to be a blue, which I loved, because he got asked about. He made a press conference years ago, and he said about when he was a kid, he used to play in the garden, and his team used to be Tottenham, right? And then he point blank said in this that it was because it was the only like fancy name, quote unquote, that he'd heard. So it was to show off to his friends that, oh look, I know football, sort of thing. And yeah, it was when he turned around and said that he's proud to be a blue, it was like, you know what, yeah, you're a good one. It was at that moment, listening to the press conference, I wrote down and I've got it here in notes, Journo 1 crap, right? So the journalist then asked about Harry Kane, and Tuchel said he's one of the best number nines in the world and all that, great goal scorer, and it's going to be easier to not have Harry Kane playing tomorrow, but we're prepared if he does. And then he asked about, the journalist asked about Dele Alli, to which Tuchel turned around and point blank said, are you in the right press conference? Now, for the first 7 minutes, that journalist, he didn't ask about Chelsea once. Like, you're in a Chelsea press conference and all you're talking about is Tottenham. So Tuchel's response was actually perfect. Like, it's very fitting. Because, like, it's almost like he's trying mind games and trying to get into Tuchel's head a bit. Like, just, if you're going to ask about Tottenham, go to Tottenham's press conference. Don't come to Chelsea's. Like, yeah. But that was the last question from that journo anyway. And the next one asked about Werner. Tuchel said that basically he's got to try and create a bond between not just Werner but all the players and all that. And then he said that everyone's different, so that you got to find out what suits Timo for the best version of him. Is that he's good against Spurs, but he also doesn't make excuses and he keeps pushing on and all that. Which again is, it's really nice to hear about the mentality of Timo, because it could be very, very easy for him to fold and go into his shell because of the goal droughts. Well, it's not even a goal drought, it's a league goal drought, because he scored against Morecambe, which people seem to forget. But his mentality's always been there. And I know I titled one of these podcasts a few weeks ago, Werner looked broken or something like that. But I was saying it more as a question. Like, does he look broken? Because when he missed the penalty, he sort of grabbed at the his collar and was like very visually frustrated. And then you see him like a couple seconds later in that match and he's like hands on his knees, folded in half. But there was something, again, very noticeable in that match. I can't remember what match it was. And we were on the attack. I think it might have been Fulham, actually. So we were on the attack. And he literally was folded in half. And then he sees the attack. And then he stands up and immediately bolts into the bolts towards the box. And he keeps going, and he kept going, which for me shows that he's an elite mentality. And when you do see that, it's comforting, because you know you will get the best out of him sooner or later, rather than a Morata who, as soon as it started going badly, it went seriously bad, because he just couldn't pull his head out of the hole that he'd got himself in. So he had to move away. And that's not a dig at Morata, because everyone deals with stuff in their own way. And the abuse Morata was getting was just vile. But at the end of the day, people react differently to it. And Timo's seems like it's the mentality of, you want to sit there and criticise me? Fine, I'm going to prove you wrong. And it might take a bit longer to do so, but it's looking like he is going to be able to do so. The next question, that was a different journalist, was about Mount. Again, it's all footnotes here, but Tuchel said he's got immense potential. 100% he's 100% constantly. He cares a lot about Chelsea, cares about his teammates, and he gives all. And that he has everything needed, like, and required to be a, quote, top player. And then that he's a very nice, positive, open guy in and around the training ground and in and around the stadium and all that. The fact that another manager has come out and said that Mount has what it takes to be the very best, and that he gives his all of the time, it's another one of those where it shows the mentality of Mount, because you could see how, like I know his post was like two words on Instagram and about Lampard when he got sacked. But to me, that says more than someone who posts a whole paragraph. It was short, it was sweet, but I have no doubt whatsoever that Mount and Lampard shared a personal goodbye. Because you could see they were, like, you could see they were close, but at the end of the day, they both understand that, like, they've got to do what's best for Chelsea, and they got to go with what's best for Chelsea. And if Roman thinks that that's the new manager, then Mount, as a professional, needs to give his all. And he is giving his all, regardless of how much he may like Lampard. He understands that, in at least for a fan and for Roman's point of view as well, it's club first. And I can't knock Mount for that. I thought he was incredible. I've been one of his biggest supporters, actually, because I think he is phenomenal, and he's very underrated in the fact that people sit there and constantly slag him off all the time. Oh, he's not doing this. He's not doing that. He's starting all the time. He's doing, you notice when we haven't got him on the pitch. Put it that way. When we haven't got Mount playing, we look visibly slower. We look less pressful. Oh, that was close. We look lethargic. One player seems to just change all of that in a click of a finger. Because he leads by example. And that's why I have said, especially since the Luton game, since it happened, but I've said that he could easily put on that armband and rock it and be worthy of having it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Aspie is a great captain. Silva is a great vice captain. And Jorginho, as much as I may criticise him, he is a leader of a lot of players. He tells players what to do, where to be, when to be, and if to be. But Mount, it'd be like having Hazard as our captain. Lead by example. Show everyone what to do, when to do it. And the fact that against Luton, he was our first academy player to wear the armband since John Terry, it goes to show you how much, how much it resonates that he is captain material. Because we've seen other players transfer in, like after John Terry, it was Cahill, then Aspie. Then we've had Silva, Jorginho, we've had Kante a few times when neither of them have played. Like, with Mount as captain, everyone respected it. No one batted an eyelid. And everyone I saw online in particular was like, you know what? Can understand why. He does deserve it. He really, really, really does. And I hope that he becomes even half the player that Lampard was. Because if he is, we've got a world-class player on our hands. We really have. And I think personally, now I might be completely wrong, I think he's got more technical ability than Lampard ever had. Difference with Lampard is Lampard pushed to the wire to make himself better. And going by what managers are saying, by training clips that we get, and by the amount that managers actually play him, he is pushing with the same work ethic and mental attitude to be better than Lampard. He's not trying to be the next Frank Lampard. He's trying to be the one and only Mason Mount. And that's the biggest credit that you can give him. Because he doesn't want to just... He wants to... Well, from what... Again, it's only my opinion, but from what it's looking like, he's got the mentality of, I want to be an icon of the game, but more than that, I want to help my team win. And it's what I was saying a couple of episodes ago, where I can only see a few people in that squad that visibly are guys who bleed blue. and others are just here because it's convenient. Like, oh, it's either London or it's Chelsea, they're a big club, or like they get here and think they've made it. With most of the Cobham boys, if not all of them, they all thrive to be the best they can be. And the only one that I can think of outside of the Cobham boys is Aspie. Maybe Chilwell. And the others, it's not a disrespect to them. It's just they won't know what it's like as much. Like, yes, they might love the club and they might come in and want to win and have professional courtesy about them and desire to win trophies and get medals and stuff like that. But like, for example, I'm going to use Aspilicueta as an example because he's another one that transferred in. He's very happy to be at Chelsea. He understands Chelsea gave him his opportunity and now he's going to do his absolute best to repay that opportunity. And I think he's done more than repay that opportunity. Aspie, for me, is a club legend. Like, I would actually put him on the level with Hazard, Drogba, Terry, Lampard and Cech. And Osgood and guys like that. We've only got a handful of legends. We've got greats, because we've had absolutely immense players over the years. Like, for example, Gary Cahill would be a great. And right. And yeah, I mean, Aspie's just gone on a different level to guys like Cahill. And that's not a slight to Cahill, because Cahill was brilliant. It's just, with Aspie, it's something else. I think going back to Mount, he has that same attitude to want to become a legend, not just of Chelsea but of the game. And if he, by doing that, he will make Chelsea successful. And then I think, like, if he does it, it'll have the same knock-on effect like when Lampard did it, and the knock-on effect was with John Terry, Didier, and then Cech. And then when those four were then doing it, the others started joining in, and that's when we became elite, like staying behind for training, working on stuff extra and all that. So if Mount starts doing stuff like that, then say, I don't know, Reece James then gets him, then carries on doing it. Then Tammy stays behind. Then Hudson-Odoi. Then Billy Gilmore. Then all the senior players they're all senior players now, but all the quote senior players then have no excuse whatsoever. Because if the kids are sitting there making themselves better to make the team better, all these other players that have come in thinking they're the big I am have no excuse but to work their ass off and be the best for Chelsea that they can be. And I think Mount will be the pioneer of that. And that's why, going back to what I was saying about the captaincy, he deserves it. And given the fact that Aspie, as great as he's been, and as great as he performs in a three-back, he hasn't got long left in his legs. I know he's going to give as much as he can give every time he puts on that shirt, but there's only so much your body will allow you to do. And when Aspie does step aside, because let's be real, by the time Aspie does, Silva will be gone. I think Jorginho will be sold as well by that point. I'd happily give Mount the armband. Happily. I just hope that then whoever's manager when that happens, whether it is Tuchel if he does brilliantly and he stays at the job, or whether it's someone else, I hope they realise that. I hope they see the fact that Mount is capable of being the pioneer that this club needs. And it's something that we'll have to wait and see. Moving on with the press conference, they then asked like what his post-match celebration is and all that, like Tuchel. Like, will you have a glass of wine or a beer or something like that? And he said, basically, he's not a beer or wine guy. If he does drink, because his alcohol intake's almost zero, it's a G&T, which is gin and tonic. And that he, like, he got asked, like, I think it was Moose from TalkSport mentioned about him being vegan or reading somewhere that he was vegan. Tuchel. He came out and said, I try to be vegetarian, but I'm not vegan. And that he loves pizza and that he loves spag bol. And then turned around and said that, like, if he has a nice spag bol in front of him, he quickly forgets that he tries to be vegetarian. And it was a funny subject, but like the next journalist then asked him about like influences with lineups and stuff like that. And to be fair, the question was kind of muffled and breaking up on the Zoom call, which they do the press conference with now. But the first thing he says is that he tries to be objective with his lineups. He's constantly asking himself questions and saying, is this good enough? Can I do better, like, with this player, that player, whatnot? And then turned around and said that the academy is absolutely crucial in influencing lineups and stuff like that. He then turned around and said that he watched an in-house academy match. So at Cobham, there's a balcony because you can't go close because of the, like, the COVID bubbles. But they had an in-house match and he watched them from afar. And he said from what he could see, the physicals and all that, he was very impressed with them. And then he said that you have to rely and trust on the Cobham crew, as I call them, but the academy players and the players who are promoted to the first team, and not throw around, are they inexperienced and stuff like that, because as he sees it, they play on meritocracy. And if he holds to that, that's going to be pivotal in proving which players are giving their all, basically. And I think if the lineups are to be looked at so far, obviously it's a fresh slate, but we can't really judge the lineup so far, never mind. He turned around and said he has the biggest respect for Jose, and that he's very respectful because he got asked about Mourinho again, and then he got asked about Reece James, and he got asked if he's like how Reece is, and if he Tuchel himself has spoken to Reece about the racial abuse he suffered. And he turned around and said, he was very honest about it. He turned around and said that he hasn't spoken to Reece about it personally. Said that the club spoke to not just Reece, but all of the players, and the players spoke back, and that Reece is supported by everyone, including himself. And Tuchel said that I'm 100% on Reece's side, which is, again, very reassuring to hear. And that talking about football and tactics could be a nice distraction to get away from the fact that he was abused because of something he can't control, which is the colour of his skin. And from what I'm taking from that as well, is that Reece is focused on the job at hand. Like, yes, it's horrible, but Reece as a player himself, again, it's only my opinion, but it's looking like he's saying, I've got to do my job now, and I've got to, basically, if I play well, And if I do what I can, it'll be the biggest fuck you to this racist prick ever. And yeah, it does look like he's focused. If he then plays and he has a shocker and it turns out it's because his mind's not in the right place, then we'll see. But I don't think that'll happen. I do believe Reese has an elite mentality. I know I've said them words a lot, but I think a lot, all of the Cobham boys do have a great mentality. It's not even a second guess in my mind at all that the Cobham boys have an elite mentality. So there's that. And then he got asked about team news and injury news and stuff like that. He said in training today, Zuma and Kai both had a niggle, and they're being scanned and stuff like that, and that he's doubtful they'll be in the squad for tomorrow, and they've got to be checked and all that. So bearing that in mind, I'm going to get into my lineup, and I'm going for the 3-4-2-1, which could actually be played as a 3-4-3 with who I'm going with. Mendy in goal. I think that's pretty simple. I think we're going to see Kepper in goal in the cup when we play that. So that'll be Tuchel's way of seeing him play in a match. But right now, we're two games into Tuchel's reign. We haven't conceded a goal. We've conceded one shot on target in both matches combined. Don't change what's working. And that's why I think the back three will be the same, which will be Silva, Rudiger and Azpilicueta. Again, who else is going to come in? Christensen? I hope not, because of the mistakes he's got in him, and like he seems very fragile, right? Not strong at all. And Zuma is a doubt. So even if he is fit, I think he'll be on the bench anyway. Can't believe I'm saying this, but given as my wing backs, Hudson-Odoi one side, again, two man in a match performances in a row, he's deserved his start and his spot. So there's that. And left wing back, I can't believe I'm saying this, I think Alonso's going to play, and he scored a great goal against Burnley. Scored a great goal against Burnley, and he loves playing against Tottenham. So yeah, play Alonso left wing back. Midfield two, I've gone for Mount and Kante. And I think that midfield would be, in particular, well, actually both of them, they're both vital to how we play. Mount for the pressurising of the Tottenham back line and all that, and Kante because if Tottenham do break through, we need a sweeper. And who better than N'Golo Kante? And then rather than Kante trying to ping the perfect pass and miss hitting it, and everyone gets the hump of him because he can't pass 5 yards without misplacing it, give it to Mount, or give it to Silva, or Rudiger, whoever can ping a ball. Like, basically, Kante, your job is to win the ball back, pass it on. Done. End of. That's your game. You do that, we'll be good. As the two in front of the midfield two, my front three, basically, is Pulisic, Ziyech and Werner. I think Werner loves playing against Tottenham. Scored against them already this season, which, again, often people forget. I think this will be one of them games where if we sit off of them, let them sort of come onto us, because they're in their backyard, it'll be perfect for Werner to get in and behind. We can utilise his speed against their centre-backs because they're not the quickest. Can utilise Ziyech's passing ability, Pulisic's ability to drive at players. It's set up really well, put it that way. And that's why, on the play predictor, I've gone with Werner to score. I've gone with a 2-0 win. Werner to score first in the 38th minute. 14 shots total, 5 on target, 63% possession, and 6 corners. Now, I was tweeting with, I think it was Tracy from 1905. And I turned around and said what I'd love to see would be a 4-0 win, Werner brace, Havertz and Hudson-Odoi. Being realistic, I don't, that ain't going to happen. I'd be very shocked if it did. Obviously, I'd love every minute of it because, as we all know, like, fuck Tottenham. Like, we hate them. But if you take that fantasy world out of it and you look at reality, reality would dictate 2-0, 2-1 sort of scoreline either way. Although they're on bad form at the moment, like they're dropping points left, right and centre. And yeah, I do believe we'll beat them. And yeah, why change a broken record that's been working at the back? Like, or why change something that ain't broken, sorry, when it's been working? So that's why I've stuck with the same back four. I mean, as long as they perform, I don't care who plays. But I just think with the likes of, in particular, Højbjerg and Sissoko in that midfield, or in double A, sorry, because Sissoko's been playing right back lately. So with Ndombele and Højbjerg, we need someone to pressure Højbjerg. There's no better presser in our team than Mount. And we need someone to stop Ndombele from opening up his legs. And there's no better than winning a ball back than Kante. So that's why I've gone with them two as my midfield pivot. But obviously, we'll have to see the lineup. But I hope that's what we go with. And if we do, great. If not, we'll have to see what happens. Everton have just scored again to make it 2-0 versus Leeds. But no, I mean, it's going to be an intriguing one, to say the least. I hope to God we can get through this and not, if we beat them, we jump them on points, but they've got a game in hand because we're tied in, we're one game ahead of them at the moment, but we're level on points. So if we can beat them, we go ahead on points and goal difference. So then if their game in hand is like a 1-0, if we win 2-0, and they win their game and have 1-0, we'll still be ahead of them. So, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I hope we win. I really hope we win because I cannot be bothered dealing with them. Spurs fans are the worst. Spurs as a club are the worst because they think they're bigger than they are. They won one league title 50 years ago. Their last trophy was in 2008. They've been renowned for bottling trophies and they think they're the dog's bollocks. Like, where does this hype come from? Like, I'm genuinely confused where it's come from. They've done nothing. Yes, they made it to a Champions League final. For them, that's a big achievement. If we made it to Champions League final and lost, we'd be well gutted. They're just happy for making it. They think they're going to beat City in the League Cup final with the form City are on. I don't think so. The form City are on, City will walk all over them. And it's only in a couple of weeks, that final. And I know things can change, but I think they'll lose that final. And everyone's on this hype train right now with Tottenham. Oh, they've got Bale, they've got Jose, they've got Harry Kane. Like, when Jose was at Chelsea, you couldn't fucking stand the guy. Now you're licking his arsehole. All you did when Bale was at Real Madrid was slag the guy off. Like, this is the media I'm talking to now. And all they did was slag Bale off. Oh, he should be focusing on his work. He shouldn't be going Wales, Gulf, Madrid and all that shit. But now he's back at Tottenham. Best thing since sliced bread. Brilliant business for Tottenham. Blah, 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 blah. And then Harry Kane, because he's England's golden boy, he's the best striker. Like, rename the Puskas Award the Harry Kane Award. Like, yes, he's a fantastic striker, don't get me wrong, but on the other breath, he isn't going to win fuck all at Tottenham. Apart from maybe the odd League Cup here and there. People compare him to Shearer, because Shearer was a legend at Newcastle. Yes, he was. But when he transferred to Newcastle, he'd already won a league with Blackburn. So he'd already had the league medal in his cabinet. Kane won't win a league at Tottenham. If I had the money, I would bet 50 quid on that right now that Harry Kane will not win the Premier League at Tottenham Hotspur. And I don't think he will. And it's not through him being bad, it's through Tottenham having a fragile mentality. It's in the DNA of their club. They struggle winning shit. Hence why they brought in the likes of Jose to come in and change that. But Jose's past his best. He's been past his best since he left us. Second time round. That season, 14-15, we won the league and then bang, his career just went whew, straight through the floor. Because he came to Man United, or went to Man United, should I say. He did okay there. He won the Europa League when Man United were expected to win that Europa League that year. Won a League Cup and he won a Community Shield. And they were palming it off like the treble, that, oh, we won the treble, like they'd won the actual treble of 99, which was the Champions League, the Premier League, and the FA Cup. That's the treble. Not a treble that, again, it's going to sound like I'm being picky here, because I'd still love to win the League Cup. I'd love to win the Europa League if we were in it. But the point is, they're parading it around as the treble. No, the treble is Champions League, Premier League, FA Cup. The wish.com treble is the Community Shield, the League Cup and the Europa League. And at the end of the day, since then, Jose hasn't done anything. It went shit for him at Man United. He came into Tottenham. All right, they had a few good results and they're in a League Cup final. And if they win that, all right, fair play. It'll be your first trophy in 12 years. Or 13 years. Since that 2008 final, like Chelsea, have won 1, 2, so three league titles. 09, 10, 12, 18. So 4 FA Cups, 2 Europa Leagues, I think 2 League Cups as well. Maybe one League Cup. Might be wrong. So I'll say one because I'm not sure. In 2015. And the Champions League. Since 2008, when they've last won a trophy, we've won 11 trophies. And then they'll still parade around the going, oh, London is white, blah, blah, blah. No, London is blue. It will always be blue. Until Arsenal win a Champions League, it will always be blue. End of. Chelsea, right now, are the biggest club in London. We're disappointed with top four last season. Because we're Chelsea, we should be pushing for the league. Regardless of circumstances, we should be pushing for the league. And it was annoying, the fact that we were in that situation in the first place. Did you see how Spurs celebrated the final day last season? Oh, yay, we got sick. Let's jump it down, up and down, up and down on the touchline like we've just won the fucking league. You're pathetic. Your club is pathetic. Fuck off. I hope we smash you. I really do. I hope we batter them 6-0 plus. Better yet, let's do a 9-0 like Man United did yesterday. Fuck it. Let's go for it. Because finally, hopefully, it'll shut them pricks up. They do my fucking head in. They really do. And I hope to God, as I say, I hope to God we smash them. But that is where I'm going to leave it. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please give it a share around. It'll mean the absolute world to me. Follow me on Twitter at CookCO4. COOKEC04. And until the next one, guys, just remember, blue is the colour, football is the game, and then for this particular one, we hate Tottenham. Until then, good. Bye.